On Demand with Jenna Ellis. This is the show where we do a deep dive into the issues and questions that you ask me and my guests to cover on demand. And so today's question comes from Nancy, one of our AFR listeners, and she gave me a link to the Wall Street Apes account on X. And, you know, this is one that just posts a lot of really interesting information a lot of times. And we'll get to the content of that. But her question is if this is true about a new chemical mix feed additive being used on cows to meet climate change emission goals, and the ingredients are potentially dangerous. She says, if this is true, this is madness and mass poisoning of the population that must be stopped. Please look into this, and please use your AFR platform to help raise awareness. Thank you so much for everything you do. Thanks so much, Nancy. And I appreciate this question, because in looking into this, what this account is posting, and you can go and read it for yourself, and it has a video from a reporter in the news. It says a new chemical mix feed additive is being used on cows to meet climate change emission goals. The ingredients being used have already been evaluated by the Food and Standards Agency and are toxic to humans, damage DNA, but they're moving ahead anyway. Bill Gates, along with rival companies, are creating vaccines and feed additives to cut emissions from cows. Quote, allows farmers to reduce methane emissions from our dairy herds, claims to reduce methane emissions from cows by about 27% on average. And these are, you know, quotations that this account is just putting in air quotes, not exactly sure where he's getting these. But basically, the whole point is that the WEF and, you know, some of these woke leftists like Bill Gates and others are pushing more of a climate change agenda that is not healthy for anyone. But is the U.S. doing anything about it? And where perhaps does RFK Jr. factor in to this? So joining me now to discuss is our good friend Raw Egg Nationalist, who goes by that moniker because he's written a lot of really great books. You can follow him on X as well. So Raw Egg, thanks so much for joining, and I know you have a lot to say on this topic.
Yes, it's a very interesting topic, Jenna. It's great to be with you to discuss it. So yes, this is an emerging thing within the sort of broader climate change agenda. So you've got all of these big investors, biotech companies, people like Bill Gates, are all starting to invest in feed additives and substances that can be given to cows and to livestock in order to reduce their methane emissions. Methane is supposedly, you know, methane is one of the more harmful greenhouse gases, and livestock, especially cows, produce a lot of methane, especially when you keep them in grain lots and stuff them full of grain. And so these big companies, these big investors, people invested in the climate change agenda are starting to look at ways that they can alter the actual digestive process within livestock in order to make them produce less methane, because, you know, they have particular microbes and particular enzymes in their rumens. So, you know, if you're a cow, then you have four stomachs called the rumen. They produce methane. And there was a big sort of scandal, or actually it was quite a small scandal, but it got quite a lot of coverage in the UK about this dairy giant called Arla, A-R-L-A, which is a sort of Europe-wide conglomerate of dairy farms. And they had started to trial this additive called Bovaer on their cows, and they announced this, and there was a big outcry about it. People, you know, really, actually, it's quite surprising to see how strongly people felt about it, how strongly they felt about, you know, yet another additive. People don't know what it does, its effects, etc. Is it toxic? Is it safe? Do we even know? And they were actually forced into a big climb down about it, and it's drawn a lot of attention to this broader issue, which is, you know, these new special additives that are being given to livestock and that will be given to livestock in the future, no doubt, and are they actually safe for human beings? And the short answer is, actually, we don't know. I mean, yes, the three ingredients in Bovaer are silicon dioxide, propylene glycol, and 3-nitrooxypropanol. And we know certainly, I think, that the third ingredient, 3-nitrooxypropanol, is not good for humans. It's difficult to say exactly what it does to a cow. It may very well reduce methane emissions, but the rumen, this system of four stomachs that cows use to digest grass and grains, etc., it's a very, very complicated thing. And so actually, we really don't know what the knock-on effects of using this feed additive are. It's been classed as safe. It has been licensed as safe. It's been licensed as safe for use in the US as well. So this is something that I think your listeners need to know, is that this is going to come to the US as well. It's being these feed additives are being used in Europe at the moment. They've been used for quite some time, for a few years, I think, in Norway, for example. And we can talk a little bit more about that, because that's an interesting example. But it's coming to the US as well.
Yeah, and this is what is really scary, as you mentioned, that we just don't know exactly what these additives are doing to cows, and so therefore what they would be doing to humans. And when we've seen, a lot of what has come out with the mRNA vaccines and, some of now the, little bit more study, but we certainly didn't have any long-term studies when those COVID vaccines, quote unquote, were initially introduced, and especially for its effects on reproductive health and pregnancies and, all sorts of things. And the government was just like, oh, it'll be fine. Don't ask any questions. And in fact, if you ask any questions, we're going to censor you. It seems like the government is just attempting to do all of these things that they think are good for environmental concerns. But so it seems like they're prioritizing the earth over the human population.
Yes, prioritizing the earth over the human population, but also corporate agriculture players, these biotech companies, they stand to make a lot of money from feed additives and from these new substances that are going to be given to livestock, in the same way that makers of solar panels stand to make a huge amount of money from the climate change agenda and from the switch from fossil fuels to so-called renewable energy. I mean, yeah, broadly speaking, we should be worried about this, I think, because it's yet another instance of secrecy in the food supply, in the sort of broader kind of health sphere, and secrecy actually within the broader health sphere, whether we're talking about medicines or food, has been a disaster for our health. The regulatory system, for example, for food additives in the US, and this is a big target for RFK Jr., rightly, I think, allows food additive manufacturers to certify that additives they create are safe and introduce them into the food supply without even actually having any kind of independent testing take place. Now, I talked a little, I mentioned very briefly this example of Norway and what's happening in Norway. Well, I think what's happening in Norway is a guide to what may very well happen throughout the rest of the Western world. So there is a company in Norway called Tine, T-I-N-E, big dairy company. And they started adding this Bovaer or a similar additive to their dairy feed. And they started selling the milk that was produced as future milk. They actually called it future milk. And it said on the packet, that the cows had been given an additive to make them produce fewer greenhouse gases. Anyway, nobody bought it. Nobody wanted to drink this future milk with this secret ingredient or with this special ingredient, whatever you want to call it. So what did Tine do? Well, Tine decided, actually, we're going to stop selling future milk, and we're just going to mix the special milk made with the additive with the rest of our milk and sell it to customers and not even tell them that the additive had been used. So that's what Tine did. And then, in Norway as well, the Norwegian government decided that by 2027, all dairy cows must be given methane-reducing additives in their feed. And that's something that I think that we will see throughout the Western world. I think we're going to see Western governments saying all dairy cows, all livestock have to be given these methane-reducing additives in their feed, etc. So I think there's going to be a... It's not going to be about consumer choice. Consumer choice isn't going to come into this. We've seen it again and again. We've seen it with these plant-based meats and these plant-based food alternatives. You know, it starts out where, yes, these companies are trying to sell us happy, healthy, planet-friendly alternatives to traditional animal food stuff. Nobody buys them. So what do? They resort to underhand tactics. You know, the plant-based meat manufacturers, the oat milk manufacturers, they're leveraging shame now in their advertising. They want people to feel ashamed about eating traditional animal foods. And they're also asking governments for subsidies and also asking for things like punitive meat taxes and carbon taxes on animal products. So I think we need to pay very close attention to this, because this is part of a much broader agenda, actually, I think, to get us to stop eating animal-based foods, to pay up for climate change, etc. And it will be implemented, I think, by quite underhand means. And so we need to be on our guard against it. It's not enough simply for us not to buy these products. That won't be the end of them.
Yeah, and this is incredibly scary that this type of additive can be utilized and the consumer not only doesn't have a choice, but may not even be aware. I mean, this is part of the damage that was inflicted by a mandatory COVID vaccine when there really wasn't choice and people had to actually file for some type of exemption to keep their job and not be otherwise coerced and compelled when they really didn't have any sort of informed consent. And this same principle should apply to instances like this, where users should be able to have informed consent and also choice in terms of the product availability. And if they want to go ahead and just say, well, you know, doesn't matter to me, I'm happy to do this because, you know, blah, 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 environment, fine. But for the rest of us who want to question this and who want to know what products have this versus not, I mean, is there even anything from the United States and our FDA or, you know, anybody who is saying at least we need to have some kind of labeling so that consumers know what's actually in their product?
Well, I think there's a more general push towards better product labeling, and I think that will be part of RFK Jr.'s agenda to make sure that people know the risks associated with particular food additives. And I think actually that's happened in California, actually, to give Gavin Newsom some credit. I think there has been a move to push for better marketing, especially of processed foods. So parents know, for example, you know, particular dyes like red dye 3 are associated with hyperactivity and stuff like that. But this feed additive stuff, I mean, this is a new thing. You know, this is only really just suddenly. I mean, people have been talking about it. Scientists have been talking about it for a while. You know, they've been theorizing about whether that would be a way to reduce greenhouse gases. But it's only really sort of emerged on the market this year, or rather 2024 and the year before. So it's a new emerging thing. But I was actually very heartened the other day. I went to my local organic shop and I looked in the fridge to get some, I think I was getting some cream. And I saw on the front of the fridge, they had put up a big sort of sticker saying, you know, we do not sell dairy products from companies that use methane reducing food additives. So I think there's popular awareness and there's a popular will to be told, to be given, like you say, informed consent, to have, you know, complete knowledge of what is actually in their food so they can make an informed choice. And what we need, yes, we need is regulators. We need government to get behind this kind of popular will and actually, you know, make some regulations. I mean, we've seen in Florida, for example, you know, we've seen Ron DeSantis actually ban the sale and production of lab-grown meat in Florida. That's a great thing. I mean, that's a really, really, even if you're a free marketeer, you know, it's a good thing. It's a an actual bit of pushback against the climate change agenda and the way that it is shaping, reshaping agriculture, reshaping consumer practices. You know, that's and so we need something like that. Certainly, we need. I mean, I wouldn't be against a ban on these additives, but I certainly think that consumers, A, need to know that they're in the products, and B, actually, we need to do some proper safety testing to find out exactly what these things do, not only in the short term, but also in the long term. You know, I mean, I doubt that there has been a study to investigate whether cows that have this additive in their food, whether there are any changes to the nutritional content of their milk, for example. I would imagine there are because, you know, the rumen is the cow's four stomachs. You know, this is an incredibly complex ecosystem of microbes and enzymes, etc. And you can't just change that. It works in a particular way for a reason. Cows produce methane for a reason. And so if they stop producing methane, you would expect there to be actually some potentially quite significant knock-on digestive effects that might affect the nutritional content of the milk. So that remains to be investigated, and it should be investigated, absolutely.
Yeah, and so where does RFK Jr. stand on this? I mean, do we know, has he talked about, you know, any of these types of additives being one of his priorities if he is part of the Trump administration to address these concerns?
I don't know that he's spoken particularly about methane, these methane inhibitors, but he has. I mean, he's made food additives one of the central targets of his Make America Healthy Again agenda. And so I would imagine on that basis, and actually on the broader basis of his criticism of the climate change agenda, you know, he's talked at great length about how this excessive focus on climate change and on carbon emissions and greenhouse gas emissions distracts basically from the real environmentalism that actually, you know, we should be focusing on, like pollution of the air and food and water and the environment with toxic estrogenic chemicals, gender-bending chemicals, carcinogens, etc. So I would imagine, yeah, on the basis of what he said and of the broad focus of the MAHA agenda, that yes, he would definitely have something to say about this if he hasn't, and I'm sure that it's been brought to his attention or will be brought to his attention, and it would definitely be nice to hear something from him about this, actually, because a lot of people want to know.
Yeah, absolutely, and I hope that that we will hear something from him soon, and perhaps after confirmation, you know, as he gets into kind of the details and some of his deputies and how they can address a lot of these things, not just these types of additives, but all kinds of things that have been part of the U.S. food industry for a while. And I think you're really wise to say, too, it's not just a matter of prioritizing the earth and our environment over humans. It's all about money as well. And a lot of these incentives of big corporations and companies and their lobbyists and, you know, those are the priorities and incentives rather than actually the health and service to the American people and their constituency, unfortunately, from a lot of the not only big pharma but big ag and all of these things, but then even to members of Congress or even on the state level. So it's a really big problem that needs to be addressed. Where do you go primarily? And I know you write a lot of this, so you're a good resource in and of yourself, and I'd encourage your audience to follow your work. But where do you go to get a lot of this information, and where can we direct some of our listeners to maybe learn more about these topics so that they can engage and they can at least be more informed consumers in the interim until the government decides to do anything about this?
Well, first of all, I will say, so I have written an essay about Bovaer, about these methane inhibitors on my Substack, which is raweggstack.com. It's called The Land of Future Milk and Honey, and that's an essay specifically about the details of these methane inhibitors, what happened in Norway, what the future might look like, etc., the kind of corporate interests. So if you specifically want to read about Bovaer methane inhibitors, go and look at that essay, I would recommend. Childrenshealthdefense.com, that's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s website. That's a great website, actually, for kind of cutting-edge health stories, stories about harmful additives, etc., legislation, legal cases. I would absolutely recommend that you go there as well. That's a resource that I rely on quite heavily, actually. So, childrenshealthdefense.com, that's a very good place to look for new stories, for analysis, etc.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your consistent work on this, highlighting these issues and being such a great resource yourself in terms of just getting this information out there, because I think a lot of people, you know, we think, oh, if we buy organic, we're doing well. But, you know, some of these other things just aren't even at the fore unless someone researches this, brings it to our attention. And so I also appreciate our listener, Nancy, for highlighting this and asking the question. And so if you have a question, a concern, or a topic that you'd like me to do more of a deep dive in than we have time for on the regular radio program, you can always reach me and my team, Jenna@AFR.net. And you can ask your question, suggest a guest or a topic. And we love to do these deep dives here on demand. And episodes, new episodes drop weekly on Fridays. And you can also find those as well on my social media pages. You can follow me on X, Facebook, Instagram, etc. So we will be back next week with more On Demand.